Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some people are good at falling asleep just about anywhere, right? Planes, trains, church. Nobody yet? Okay. Other people have trouble falling asleep even at night in the comfort of their own bed. Our text today, Jesus is going to show us how to sleep even in the middle of a raging storm. And that's a talent that I think some of us would be a little bit envious of. In fact, near the end of our text, Jesus, of course, is going to calm that storm. But some of us would probably choose the ability to sleep whenever, even over that power over the wind and the waves, to sleep peacefully under any such circumstances. And that word peacefully, that adverb there, is really the main point, isn't it? It's because Jesus trusts and finds peace in his heavenly Father and knows that he's in control, that Jesus can sleep even when the waves are crashing over his head. It doesn't bother him because he has that faith, that confidence that God is watching out for him. And that's the real point, of course, of our text and of our sermon. Not learning how to fall asleep, but learning how to find that peace that allows us to rest in Christ. Let's take a look at the first three verses of our text, 35 through 37. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Jesus is sleeping even as the waves are crashing over his head. Psalm 4, verse 8. Make sure that's working there. Psalm 4, verse 8 reminds us, "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." How could Jesus sleep even in the midst of a storm? Well, the psalm reminds us, again, as we talked about, that the key is that peace, finding that peace in God. And that trusting the Lord. We don't find peace. Peace doesn't come from our ability to stop the chaos. We're tempted to think that way, especially when we have little kids. If we could just stop them from running around, right? Maybe we could have some peace. If we could just stop all the troubles and calm everything down for a minute, maybe we could find some peace. But the truth is that that's not going to happen. Not in this life, anyway. The Bible often pictures this world as a sea for very good reasons, because of the constant turmoil and troubles and suffering. And we heard about that in our epistle reading, right? How Paul goes on and on about the trouble and the suffering. And the key isn't calming everything down, stopping the kids from running around. The key to peace is finding that trust in our Savior, which puts our trust in him so that even in the midst of chaos, we dwell in safety. We can find that peace in the Lord. What problems, worries, cares, troubles, sufferings did you bring with you to church this morning? Hopefully you brought some. That's what we come to church for, right? To bring our troubles and our worries and put them on Jesus. Are any of those troubles, any of those things that may be bothering you this week, are any of them as perilous as the circumstances the disciples find themselves in our text? The boat filling up with water in the middle of a sea while a great storm is beating down upon them. We often like to exaggerate the problems of our life. Oh, it's the end of the world. I remember when I first started losing my hair, how much it bothered me. But you get used to it, it's the way it is. Life goes on, right? Doesn't really change anything. We like to make a big deal out of little things. But it happened, and that's the way it is. And of course, sometimes the boat is filling with water. That's actually another story. That happened to me too when we were canoeing up in northern Minnesota one time. There was a storm, and our boat was almost full of water. But it still wasn't that big of a deal because it was not that deep of a river, even if our boat had capsized. Sometimes in life, the boat really is filling with water. Sometimes it is about to sink. Sometimes we do find ourselves seemingly treading water in the middle of a storm. But even when the problems are a big deal, we ought to have this confidence in the Lord, as the psalmist reminds us. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Our account this morning is one that we really should carry with us and should give us peace and confidence no matter what's going on in our life. If the Lord's able to rescue the disciples out of the midst of this stormy sea, he could take care of whatever little problems might be affecting our life as well. There's actually a Rembrandt painting of this account on the front of your bulletins, and there's another really beautiful picture of this same account hanging up in the office. Another one of this account is a good one to have hanging in your house just to remind you that even in the midst of storms, we have peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the next verse, verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" That sounds familiar, doesn't it? The Lord's not responding to my prayers. The Lord's not responding to my requests immediately. He's not doing things on my timetable. Therefore, he must not care. The psalmist says it has the same sentiment here in Psalm 22, verse 2. "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, and you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent." It's almost like, I'm praying to you, like you said, but you're not answering me. Don't you care that I'm dying? Disciples kind of sound like teenagers in this text, don't they? Oh, it's the end of the world. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Just like the disciples, the psalmist also in Psalm 22 is crying out to God, "God, you're not responding, so you must not care." But Jesus reminds us in our text that a lack of immediate response, or more appropriate, a lack of immediate seeming response, just because we don't see Jesus, God, responding immediately, it doesn't look to us like God is responding immediately, doesn't mean that God doesn't care, and it doesn't mean that he isn't listening. Very often we're tempted to think this way, that if God doesn't answer right away, that our prayers are no good and that God must not be listening. But God reassures us that this is not the case. Isaiah 49 is a beautiful passage here. A very similar situation, Isaiah 49, 14 and 15. "Zion said," that's the people of God say to God, "the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me." Again, that sounds just like us, right? "Lord, you forgot about me." And the Lord's response is, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but I will not forget you." Just because I don't respond immediately doesn't mean I'm not listening to your prayers. It doesn't mean I'm not watching over you. We find peace not by God's immediate response, but by reminding ourselves that the Lord has promised to watch over us. And you notice the disciples, they do some things wrong in this account. They fail to trust. They doubt when they shouldn't. But one thing they do right is in that doubt, in that trouble, they take it to the Lord. Their attitude might not be right, but despite the fact that their attitude might not be right, they still come to the Lord with that trouble. "Lord, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And the psalmist does the same thing. "You're not listening to me, God." Jesus encourages us to come to him with those feelings of neglect, those feelings of worries. Jesus even tells us that parable of the man who kept knocking. So when it seems to us that God isn't responding, Jesus encourages us to just keep coming to him in prayer and to trust that he will respond in his time, when the time is right. Peace comes from remembering that a seeming lack of response from God does not equate to a lack of concern, and that the Lord will respond when he knows the time is right. Verses 39 and 40. "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" There are two rebukes in those passages, aren't they? Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. He also rebukes the disciples. Of the two groups, which one listened? The wind and the waves stopped, but we're going to find out in a minute in our text that the disciples were still fearful. The wind and the waves obeyed Jesus' command. They listened to Jesus' voice. The disciples did not. Psalm 6 reminds us, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. The psalmist admits, we know that we should trust the Lord. The Lord has told us that many times. He repeats it again and again. Yet the psalmist admits, I am weak. Don't get angry at me for my weakness, Lord. That's very appropriate to us as well. The wind and the waves listen to Jesus' voice, but very often we don't. It's easier for God to calm the wind and the waves than it is for him to calm our hearts, and yet he keeps trying, doesn't he? Jesus' response to the disciples, in the text it says, how is it that you have no faith? But in the Greek, there's actually an element of time there. How is it that you still don't have any faith? The disciples had seen and heard Jesus doing so much, right? How many miracles have they seen? We're only in the fourth chapter of Mark right now, but already he's done quite a few miracles, healing the lame and the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out demons, changing the water into wine. Jesus says, after all that you've seen me do, how do you still have so little faith? How about us? After all that we've seen and heard about God's power and his concern for us and his care for us, after all the miracles we've heard about as kids, even him rising from the dead, after all that we've seen in his life, time after time we're convinced that it's the end of the world, and yet God brings us through just fine. We come out the other side, right? How do we still have so little faith that we are troubled so easily? Despite our hardness of heart and our refusal to listen, Jesus greatly desires this for us. He greatly desires to give us that peace, a comfort that comes from knowing the Father is in charge. And so he, time and time again, reminds us. He doesn't rebuke us, just like David pleads in Psalm 6, do not rebuke me in your anger. Jesus doesn't rebuke us despite our weakness, but in our weakness, because he knows our weakness, he strengthens us, comforts us, reminds us once again that peace that comes from him and his promises. Yes, we should listen to Jesus the first time and trust his promises, but Jesus keeps on reassuring us that we do not need to worry. Peace comes from trusting his word and his promises. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Psalm 27:5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Even when the storm was over and done, the disciples are still fearful. Fearful in a different way, but their hearts aren't calm as Jesus wants. They don't have that peace that Jesus was talking about, do they? They are fearful. That's because they do not yet understand the question that they themselves answer, the answer to the question, who is this? They've seen Jesus' power, but apparently they've forgotten his grace and his mercy. And so they are concerned. They're worried. They don't understand. Peace comes when we remember that Jesus is Yahweh. He's not just God. He is God. He's not just God. He's not just the Almighty, the All-Powerful, is he? But he's Yahweh, the God, as we heard about last week, the God who sees us and who uses his power to protect us, to hide us in his pavilion, in the secret place of his house. I was kind of excited about this text because when I was studying this text, the name of our favorite villain came up again in connection. You guys remember Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanius from some past sermons? Maybe some of you remember him. Antiochus IV Epiphanius was that Greek general that caused such suffering among the Jewish people. But his name came up in connection with this text because apparently during his life he claimed that he could calm the wind and the waves, that he could command the wind and the waves. I don't know if he meant that literally, but he did apparently claim it, and he did think that he himself was a god. In fact, that name, that's what the name Epiphanius means. He added that to himself to claim that he was God. When Antiochus IV Epiphanius finally died, the Jews mocked him for that break. You claim to control the wind and the waves, and yet you died. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who does control the wind and the waves. And he does so not, you notice that in our text, he doesn't do so in a bragful way. Look at me, everybody, look at me and look what I can do, does he? It's just a natural part of him. He just calms them for the sake of his disciples. Who is Jesus? He is God. Antiochus claimed to be God, but Jesus truly is. Antiochus claimed to command the wind and the waves, but Jesus truly does. But again, that's only a partial answer to that question. There was one commentator in particular who made a big deal of this because in the Gospel of Mark, he says, Mark is showing us that Jesus is true God, and that's the point of this miracle, to show us that Jesus is true God. And he said, it's okay to talk about the troubles of this life or like the sea, but that's not really the point of the account. And that commentator was wrong because he's only seeing half the picture. Yes, Mark's purpose is to show us that Jesus is God, but it's not only to show us that he is God. Right? It's to show us that he is the God who sees us, the God who cares. It's not just to show us his power, but to show us how he uses that power for the benefit of his people, how his disciples don't need to fear the storm and the sea when Jesus is with them, and how we don't need to fear because God is with us. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. If the disciples had understood not just the power of Jesus, but his grace and his mercy and his compassion, that he is our good shepherd, they would not have been terrified, but rejoiced in this demonstration of his watching over them as he watches over us. Who can this be? The full answer is that he is Yahweh, the God who sees our trouble and works to give us peace, who listens to our suffering, our troubles, our woes, and answers all our prayers. Jesus is Yahweh, the God who sees us, who has the power and the willingness to help. Jesus teaches us how to take a nap. That is, he teaches us how to find peace. By listening to his word, by trusting those promises, by not giving up in our prayers, but knowing that he is listening and his power is there to watch over us. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.